everyone, it's Sandy Cruz from Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen, and I'm here to show you that balanced living works. This is especially for all you ladies over 40. We will cover a range of exciting topics with many special guests, and I really look forward to this season. Bye for now. Hi everyone, welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen, episode 29, part 2. I skipped a week because I thought I'd give you a break. Go back and listen to episode 29, part 1 if you haven't done so already, because this episode on personal care products, it's going to give you the whys. Why should you care what is in your face cream? What is in your makeup? What is in your body lotion? Even what is in your laundry detergent? All of those things. Why should you care? So I'm not going to repeat myself in this episode. Go back to part 1 if you haven't done so already. Go listen to that because it's going to give you a good foundation of why you should really care. I also talk about that documentary briefly called Toxic Beauty. I couldn't get through it. Honestly, I just found it focused a lot on the illnesses and the cases of the women who have suffered from using personal care products and getting sick from them and then trying to prove it. And anyway, it's a very dark look at the industry. And, you know, when I started to dig deeper on this, it can be pretty dark, people. There's a lot of stuff that if you knew what was in that product, you wouldn't want to put it on your face or on your body or use it to wash your clothes. So I am very careful about what I do put. I just feel like, oh my gosh, like there's just so many unknowns. So I'm going to get into some of the Dirty Dozen lists that I got from David Suzuki. I had to do a lot of research for this episode, and please forgive me for my pronunciation of some of these ingredients. They're not the easiest to pronounce, but what I will do is I'm going to list the ingredients that I talk about in my show notes so you can go back and look at them. Okay. One thing I am going to say that is the one thing I found very frustrating is that these products don't always use the exact name that I'm going to talk about. It gets so confusing, but I'm going to tell you what you can do at the end to lessen your confusion. Okay. I'm going to start off before I get into all of these ingredients. I'm going to ask you to go to Instagram and come find me there at Sandy K Nutrition or on my Facebook page, Sandy K Nutrition. Follow me there because that is really where I have a lot of different content. I do feel it's very aligned with my podcast, but I'd love you to go and follow me there. The other thing I'd really love you to do is wherever you listen to podcasts, please subscribe, rate, and review. When you actually provide podcasters with a few words on why you value our podcast, it really helps us. It helps us to be found. It helps us to be heard. And it really helps us when we put out all this free content for our listeners. Okay. Now, the other last announcement I'm going to make, I know people hate announcements, but this one's really important. I am coming out with a 3-month program. This is a 3-month all-encompassing holistic health program. Remember, I'm a registered holistic nutritionist, where I work with people to help rebalance their body systems and feel great again. More to come on that. You're going to see a lot more on my Instagram and my Facebook, Sandy K Nutrition. So definitely, definitely go and follow me there so you can find out more about this program. And by the way, it's not a group program. It is customized for every single person. And it's 3 months long, and it's not about a strict diet. Trust me, that's not what it's about. So go and listen more on Facebook, on Instagram, and it's coming at you soon. It comes out November 1st. It will be on special until the end of the year for Christmas. So, you know, for that person who has absolutely everything, how about the gift of health? How about that? Okay, so now I'm going to start getting into this. As I said, I got most of my information from David Suzuki. He is so educated in this area, and I loved all of what he had to say about the toxins in our personal care products. So if you want even more details, go and look up David Suzuki personal care products Dirty Dozen list. Okay. The first one that I'm going to talk about is BHA, or butylated hydroxyanisole, or BHT. These are synthetic antioxidants. I know we usually think antioxidants are good, but these are synthetic. They're used as preservatives in lipsticks, moisturizers, and other products, and can actually be used as food preservatives. They can induce allergic reactions on the skin, in the skin. BHA is a possible human carcinogen. Now, a human carcinogen, a carcinogen means it can cause cancer. This is why you should care. A lot of people go, oh, carcinogen, like they don't even know what carcinogens are. They can be cancer causing. Okay, so that's BHA. It is, long-term exposure of BHT is toxic in mice and rats, causes liver, thyroid, and kidney problems, and affects lung function. Okay? That's BHT. BHT can also mimic estrogen. Estrogen dominance is a huge problem with many, and not just women. So it can affect the expression of male sex hormones also. This is BHT, and result in reproductive issues. BHA is toxic to aquatic life. Okay. Next, DEA, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce this. I'm going to write it down in my show notes, I promise. This is the component that makes things creamy or sudsy, like soap. So it can also be a pH adjuster. So you're going to find this in moisturizers, sunscreens, soaps, cleansers, shampoos. It can cause mild to moderate skin and eye irritation. It has been linked to liver cancer, skin cancer, thyroid cancer. Believe me, people, thyroid is a massive issue with so many. I feel like it's almost like an epidemic. It's like everybody has issues with their thyroid. Okay, so that's DEA. Now, this was interesting. They talk about, this is PPD, or phenylendiamine, again. Forgive my pronunciation. This is the stuff that's in darker hair dyes, henna tattoos. They also refer to this as black henna. Okay. So this stuff will help cover grays. It actually will, you know, if you want to go darker in your hair color, a lot of the stuff contains this PPD. It is coal tar derived. Okay. It is a human carcinogen. It is linked to tumors and some pretty severe allergic reactions. So if you're one of those people that goes and covers up their grays every couple weeks with this stuff, please have a look and see what it actually contains, your hair dye, what it actually is. And I believe, don't quote me on this, I believe it has to do with the concentration And 6% seems to be a number. So you can go back and research that yourself. But that is one to watch out for because there are definitive links. Now, one of the things that David Suzuki does talk about is unscented versus fragrance-free. It seems this is something you have to watch out for. If it says unscented, it can still contain things that, ingredients that are dangerous, unhealthy. So be careful of this. You want to look for completely fragrance-free, okay? DBP, dibutyl phthalate. This is in nail products, also used as an ingredient in that general term fragrance. I'll get to that in a second. Okay. And sometimes you won't see it listed. This is where it gets really, really tricky. So fragrance can be considered trade secrets and they're not required to disclose list of ingredients that are in fragrance. Now I have talked about this on my Instagram. There is a company that I've been trying to get an answer from for weeks now. And one of the answers that came back to me was, fragrance is just fragrance. Okay then. What, fragrance isn't just a thing. It's not just one ingredient. It has to be something that makes the fragrance. So most ethical companies, this is a really important point, important point. So if you get anything out of this podcast, this is it. If you see a company that says fragrance or parfum, if they do not answer you in terms of what that ingredient encompasses, remember, fragrance can have like 5 different ingredients. It is actually crazy that personal care product companies can get away with this under the term trade secrets. So they can put all kinds of toxic crap under that one term, fragrance or parfum, and it can be so toxic. Meanwhile, they can say that their product is organic, using organic shea butter and all these different things, and then plop in that term fragrance. If that company does not answer, what is that fragrance? I would say stop using it. That's my own personal belief. And the reason I say that, I don't take this lightly, because to me, that's a lack in ethics for a company to not be able to disclose to you what is that fragrance. Because most companies that have personal care products that have a scent, they're going to say fragrance. No, sorry. They're not going to say fragrance. They're going to say lavender oil or lemon oil or whatever it is that gives their product that scent. And then you as the consumer can decide, okay, yeah, I'm good with lavender oil. Sure. I'm great with essential oil derived like from lemons. I'm good with that. So that is one of the takeaways that I mentioned at the start. That is the trick. So you can go to look at all of these companies with all of these ingredients that look so beautiful and organic and everything. But if they say fragrance, if they say parfum, and they don't answer you in terms of what is in that fragrance or parfum, that is when I shut the door on that company and I question the integrity and I question the ethics. Sorry. Those are the cold, hard facts. And the reason is because so much can be hidden in that one term under trade secrets. Okay. So if there's one thing you get out of this podcast, it's this, because that is the trickiest part of all personal care products that I have personally found. Okay. That was long. Anyway, but it's so important because so many things can happen with these terms that are not disclosed. Okay, let's get into formaldehyde. Formaldehyde-releasing preservatives is used in a wide range of cosmetics. It can also be used in wood products like hardwood and vinyl flooring and other plastics and fabrics like rugs. It's also naturally occurring in the environment, and it is a known human carcinogen. So formaldehyde itself is a restricted ingredient in cosmetics, but there is no restriction on low levels of formaldehyde released by other ingredients. So this, again, really tricky. Because here you've got, okay, I as a manufacturer can't actually physically put formaldehyde in my products. But I can use other products that will release formaldehyde. Isn't that insane? So, methenamine is one of those products. And guess what it's used in? Eye makeup, shampoo, conditioners. So even though methionine is not technically formaldehyde, it releases formaldehyde. Again, gosh, I can't get over this. So an antimicrobial preservative in cosmetics is another one of those. It's diazoldianol. Again, I'll list this. This is in cosmetics, skincare, shampoo, conditioner, bubble bath, baby wipes, household detergents. Now, here's the biggie that everybody talks about, and all these products are coming out and saying paraben-free. I think that's great. However, you still have to look out for all the other stuff I'm talking about. So they can say paraben-free, phthalate-free, organic, and all these things, but then still list fragrance or parfum. It's very frustrating. So parabens are the most widely used, although they're definitely coming down, and it's hid. So here's again where it gets tricky. So even though you may not see methyl paraben listed, they can actually hide parabens in fragrance under the term trade secrets. Oh my gosh, you guys. So, parabens are very tricky because they interfere with hormone function. So if you use enough products that contain parabens, you're going to have messed up hormones. I can tell you that. Parabens can also mimic estrogen. Believe it or not, they've actually detected parabens in human breast cancer tissue. I'm going to pause. So obviously, this suggests the association between cancer and parabens. Parabens can also interfere with male reproductive functions. Okay? Methylparaben reacts with UVB and increases skin aging and DNA damage. So, you know, what's insane about all of this is that, you know, people think that it's just about women and our personal care products, but it's not. Men, okay, I don't mean to sound judgy or anything like that, but those guys that you see with dad bod, so the belly, the male breast enlargement, guess what? That is a sign of higher estrogens in males. And I don't know about you, but I've seen it with two men in my house that they also use personal care products. The body washes, the shampoos, the shaving creams, all of that. When you're shaving, think about what you're doing. You're opening up the pores and you're using shaving cream. if that shaving cream has a bunch of junk in it, do you think that's not getting into your body? I had to stop and talk about men because it seems like men think they're exempt, or maybe they just don't think about it. But guys, you got to think about this. Remember, a lot of these products can really, really mess with your hormones. Guys, you don't want to have more estrogen than testosterone. It's not good. Okay, so back to the parfum or fragrance. I just want to give you a little more detail on that. Can you believe that there can be 3,000, I think that number is 3,000. I'm going to have to check on that I didn't make a mistake. Different chemicals used in that one term. So this is where I was saying you have to be careful about unscented, because products marked fragrance-free or unscented can still say fragrance, believe it or not, and use masking, like it's a masking agent to say, hey, guess what? You know, we're so clean, we're unscented. So what does some of these ingredients do? They cause skin irritation, runny eyes and nose, association with cancer, neurotoxicity. You know, it's just some of this stuff that's contained in fragrance might not even have a smell. And this is where that unscented comes in. It's really weird how they can actually get away with this. So all of you people who love cologne or perfume, men, ladies alike, did you know that some of the top selling perfumes and colognes identified 14 chemicals per product not listed on the label and hidden in the term fragrance? So I stopped wearing perfume, oh my gosh, many, many years ago. I can't even remember when I stopped. But I don't use perfume unless. So this is that whole thing. If you go back to part one when I talk about toxic load, yeah, I think you're going to find that useful. Anyway, when I do wear perfume, which is probably, I don't know, 3 times a year, and now even less because I don't go anywhere right now, obviously. But if I do, there's one type of perfume, one brand that I actually love. I still will not put it on my skin. I will put it on the top that I'm wearing. And yes, it still releases the scent. I understand that. However, it's not directly touching my skin. I do not wear perfume. And there's a reason why, because so much is hidden in perfume. Perfume is like the king and queen, perfume and cologne, king and queen of endocrine disruption. I shouldn't say that. There's a lot worse out there, but you know, I just won't wear it. So if you're one of these people that loves to smell good, look for pure essential oils. I wear those all the time. And again, even though essential oils are naturally derived or should be naturally derived from nature, that doesn't mean you can't be sensitive to it. So, you know, there could be people who really hate the smell of lavender. I'm okay with it. It's not my absolute favorite, but, you know, it doesn't irritate me. So, again, use your body as your guide for whatever scents work for you. I personally diffuse a lot of different essential oils in my home. I feel that's very healthy. It's energy cleansing. I also will use naturally scented incense. I feel all of these things make my home smell beautiful. Please, goodness, don't use Febreze or those Glade plugins or oh my gosh. If you love to have a nice smelling home, get yourself a good quality diffuser. So it's using water, and make sure that you're using pure essential oils. Pure is the key. Okay, I think I've got just a couple more ingredients to go through. PEG, polyethylene glycols. So these are petroleum-based compounds, and they're used as thickeners, solvents, softeners. They're used in creams, some pharmaceuticals, and they can cause irritation and systemic toxicity, especially if it is used on broken skin. They have been associated with cancer, skin allergies, irritation. So stay away from those. Siloxanes? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right again. That's an ingredient that softens, smooths, moistens. So deodorants that slide really easily. It helps in moisturizers, facial treatments. It's also used in medical implants. Interesting. Also lubricants. Now these are endocrine disruptors. D5, which is categorized as a siloxan, has been known to cause uterine tumors and harm reproductive and immune systems, which we don't want to mess with that, that's for sure nowadays. It can influence neurotransmitters in your nervous system. Okay. So dimethicone is a really common ingredient, and it's used in cosmetics and is classified as a siloxan. So now I'm going to get into the SLS. So that's a sulfate. Okay, you know how they say sulfate free or phthalate free? There's SLS and there's SLES. And again, here's where it gets confusing, guys. So this is sodium lauryl sulfates. And you can find this in cosmetics, bubble bath, you know, for that foamy effect, shampoos, shower gels, facial cleansers, household cleaners. And here's where it gets tricky. Very tricky again. The danger of these SLS or SLESs are really in the manufacturer's processes. So, I mean, this is where you're like, oh my God, like, what do I do? How do I know what their processes are? If their processes are not great, those SLSs may be contaminated with ethylene oxide and dioxane, which are human carcinogens. They can also harm the nervous system. These toxins can be removed during the manufacturing process, but there's no way, easy way for us to know whether these, you know, SLSs or SLESs have undergone this process. Kind of crazy, you guys. And so those are the main ingredients I'm going to talk about. In my show notes, I will list a bunch of these, but really what I'm going to do is I'm going to refer you to David Suzuki's Dirty Dozen list of personal care products. I'm also going to link that in the show notes. This is a really important thing for people to be educated on. So I'm going to tell you my tips. Of course, I know a lot of these terms, which are actually, they're not terms, these ingredients. I know a lot of them because I can go way back to when my youngest was born and she had severe eczema as an infant. This is going back 15 years. She had eczema in the cracks of, you know, behind your knees. And, you know, here's this tiny little baby with a severe eczema. Well, back then I had no idea that that's also a sign of severe food allergies. And she is anaphylactic to peanuts, which I learned 3 years later. But back then, 15 years ago, there was nothing. Oh my gosh. Now we are so fortunate where we really, really have so many great companies that are ethical, that are clean, that are really with high integrity, that will tell you exactly what's in their products. So look for them. Look for them. And you have to do your research, but, you know, that's why I put out podcasts like this, because I think it's important to educate people on what's out there, because it does make a difference. So if you're using perfume 3 times a year and everything else you do is clean, I'm not going to be that worried about it. If you're using all kinds of cosmetics, you put on 12 different types of products in the morning, makeup, tons of makeup, foundation, setting spray, mascara, eyeliner, body wash, facial cleanser, deodorant, I could go on, lotion. Listen, I use a lot of those things. I actually don't use much makeup though. And the makeup that I use, I make sure it's clean. But, you know, if you're using all of those products, and I'm not knocking you for using them, but what I am going to say is it's important for you to look at what is in those products. How ethical are those companies? And unfortunately, you're going to have to set aside the, but I love the way this product works. I can almost guarantee you, you're going to find a product that is clean, that you're going to love the way it works. It may take some work on your part, but you'll find it. I've done it, and it wasn't easy, but it's worth it, because I know I am doing everything I can to limit my toxic load in my body. So what I'm going to leave you with is these tips. Number one, if you shop at Sephora, and I think in the US, Ulta is really big, look for the clean stamp. They've done a lot of the work for you, okay? So I know at Sephora, we don't have Ulta here, I don't think yet, in Canada. But in Sephora, it's a light green stamp on all the products that they have deemed as clean. You can go deeper and farther in that just to do your research and make sure that it's clean according to your terms. But, you know, they've done a pretty decent job with that. Number two, stick with what you know. So, I am a huge believer in product loyalty. I don't mind trying new things, but before I try something new, this is my third point, ask the questions if you're not sure. Go to the company, send them a DM on Instagram. A lot of companies have people who manage their social media, and they'll be able to give you the answers that you're looking for. Because once you get those answers, then guess what? You're going to be that loyal customer, like I am, to a lot of my products. So those are my top 3 points. Actually, I'm going to add another one. If you work with a holistic health practitioner, such as myself, ask them. Because people like myself, naturopath doctors, we actually look at these things very critically, because I practice what I preach. I'm very authentic. I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to claim I don't do this when I do it. So one of the things I do is I watch what products I use for myself, for my family. So I'm going to end this podcast there, and I welcome you. Send me any feedback. Send me an email, sandy@sandyknutrition.ca. If you want to be a guest on my show and you have a great topic for me, send me an email. Or, hey, I'm a registered holistic nutritionist, so if you want to work with me, send me an email, sandy@sandyknutrition, and I do take clients internationally. Have a great week, guys. Bye for now. Join me next week where I cover off more exciting topics. I hope to continue to engage you and excite you and show you that living in your 40s, 50s, and beyond can be exciting, balanced, and healthful. Bye for now.